This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, the world's strongest man, a world champion, and not one, not two, but three different sports. Mark Henry and I talk to Michelle McCool. That's right, Michelle McCool, before her big return to the WWE at the Royal Rumble in less than 2 weeks. Also, we spar with our good friend Justin Labar with all the hot topics in the world of pro wrestling right now on the Busted Open Podcast.
Michelle McCool joins us right now on the show. Michelle, good morning to you, and thank you so much for the time.
Good morning, and thank y'all so much for the kind words.
Check is in the mail, I hope.
I figured.
And obviously, we all know now that you're going to be an entrant into this year's Royal Rumble, and I think we've seen some glimpses of you working out and getting ready for what we're going to see in less than 2 weeks. How excited are you for this year's Royal Rumble?
Look, I'm excited. I'm super excited, but I also turned 42 next week, so training has not gotten any easier by any stretch of the imagination, but I think I still got it. I think I can go out there at least for one night. I will say my daughter, who Mark, you know Kaya, and you know her quick-witted little self. So she said, "Mommy, I got the perfect poster for you." I'm like, "What is it, baby?" Because last one we went to, she said, "My mommy can beat all these girls." And on the back, it says, "My daddy has beaten all these guys." So I thought, oh, this is going to be good. She goes, "I'm going to take a poster that says, where there's a will, there's a way, and my mommy will find a way, dot, dot, dot. And in parentheses at the bottom, I'm going to put, but not really, because she can't really eliminate all these girls." And I was like,
wow, come on, Kai.
Come on, Kai. I have a little faith. I mean, seriously.
I mean, mom wants to be champion again. Mom's going to be champion again.
That's right. I know. We'll see how it goes.
Bless her heart.
I might feel a little froggy that night and just, go AWOL. Yeah. Who knows?
Just throw everybody out, Sometimes you got to lay low. You got to let everybody else, eliminate themselves.
That's right. Be smart.
There you go. I want to know. Dave is giving you the big time welcome, and you're back in the spotlight. You're going to be in the Rumble, but I want to know, how do you feel with all the training that you're doing again, getting back, getting yourself ready for the ring?
There's nothing like a little 3 week fight camp to get you back in the ring, but you also know there's nothing like ring ready. I mean, if you're not training in the ring, but I feel good with where I'm at. I mean, Harry, he's put me through some grueling workouts. Mark's been there by my side, working out most of the time, but by my side, encouraging me. So I've been training hard. I feel good physically. I feel good mentally. And, hitting the ropes and hitting the mat are a whole different ball game. Kaya also said it perfectly during our prayers the other night. She said, "Dear God, I pray that mommy doesn't get hurt too bad, because she's sure going to hurt afterwards." I'm like, preach on, sister.
She knows.
She knows.
When you got kids that are around the wrestling business, and they see you come home and you're bent over and you sit down and you make sounds when you sit down. Wow. Are you there yet, Dave? I mean, I know you're 50, but when you sit down,
everything.
Mark, this morning, yes, after I fell down the stairs, Michelle, yeah, I did. I'm an idiot. But Michelle, talk about the process of coming back. The phone call you got, did you have to think about it, or is this something that you really wanted to do? What was that process like for you?
Yeah, so I got a phone call from Talent Relations right about Christmas time. And John Cohn called and he said, "Hey, we're doing a Rumble and just want to gauge and see if you had any interest in doing it." And I thought, ooh, we're about to go to Colorado for 10 days, which, sets me back in my training. I Let's see. Let me think about it. I'm very honored and flattered. Let me see. So I thought about it for, you know, I talked it over with Mark. I was like, you know what? You don't give this opportunity too much. I'm super grateful for it. And it gives me a chance to really show my daughter Kaya and my son Colt that, you know, I'm a little scared, but we can be scared and still go out there and be brave and do things and overcome challenges. And so that was kind of the motivation behind it, you know, show my
kiddos. Made it a learning experience.
I did. I was like, you know, I'm going to need y'all's help. I'm going to need your motivation, but mommy's a little scared. Mommy knows she can do this, but I got to train hard. I got to put in the work. So let's do it. And so that was really, yeah, that was my motivation behind doing it.
Some things that have happened recently, obviously with your husband retiring, and he's been very open, which, you know, as a fan, I'm still struggling with because I love the character so much. And then to see the man behind the character, it's kind of jarring for me. But how has it mm-hmm. been for you and your family to go to such a closed, enclosed section of your life to opening that up for the public to see?
Yeah, I think now it's become a little bit more normal. First off, Dave, like I think Mark can attest to the fact that there's definitely Undertaker in Mark also. There's a whole lot of Mark, but there's also Undertaker in Mark in real life. Not with us, but when need be. So it was a little strange at first, you know, when we filmed the Last Ride documentary and people really getting a glimpse into who he was. And I think it was such a treasured thing for so long that people were so interested of who the man behind the character was. And I think that's special. I think, you know, it's special for his fans after all these years to be able to see that. Because, you know, a lot of times we judge a book by its cover, including myself. I didn't want to meet the guy and, you know, he wore me down. Eventually I married him, but, there's a lot to him, and I'm glad that his fans after all these years, you know, get to see that. So, To us, it's always been husband. To the kids, he's just daddy. Mark, I know with JoJo and Jacob, same thing. You know, they know what you do. They know who you are. They know people always want autographs and pictures, but it's just like, kind of like, why? It's daddy, you know? So it's special. It's special the time we get together and, you know, we have him home a lot more, which is nice. Most of the time.
Most of the time.
is
a little break for everybody.
Is pro wrestling for you kind of like the Godfather 3? As soon as you think you're out, they pull you back in. Is that kind of been the world when dealing with pro wrestling?
Yeah, you know, it's hard when you've done something for so long. It just kind of becomes your identity, whether you're meaning for that to happen or not. So especially with Mark, you know, he did it for so long. Where do you go from there? And of course, the whole world knows he's been pulled back in for 10 years straight. You know, like Santa Claus came out once a year for WrestleMania, had a surgery, came out, did WrestleMania. And it's hard when you're looking and going, I still love that so much. And I know my heart says I can do it, but my body says, you might want to, you know, back off now. But it does have a way of pulling you back in. You know, the fans play a huge part of that. It's a special business. But I love now that I can see that he truly has closure. And that took a while.
Well, I'm talking about you. I'm talking about you. Like, you know, you thought you were out and then they pulled you right back in again.
Pulled you right back in. But see, they gave me an option. And, you know, I joke around that I get dumber by the day. Like my brain is just mush and they do pull you back in. It's hard to say no. It is hard to say no. So when you get that call, it's kind of like, oh, I know better. I'm going to hurt really bad. But like I said, this one, the last one was all about my daughter being able to get one of my t-shirts because they didn't make t-shirts when I was there back in the day. And that's a whole nother story because at that show, I was so excited. Kaya comes running around the corner. I'm like, baby, I got you a t-shirt. She's like, mommy, Mr. Joe at merch, he already gave me Naomi's shirt. So do you mind if I like maybe put yours on under it? And I'm like,
wow,
I did this for you. I did this for you, kid. Wow.
So, you know what, Michelle?
She loves me. She does.
Yeah, I know she does. She's a pill sometimes, but she's still mommy's little girl.
Mm-hmm.
I recently got in the ring and started working with the big guys, and mm-hmm. right now I'm I'm still in pain, and I'm just letting you know.
Oh.
As your girl Janet said to me, don't get in there and in the ring and lose your mind. And I only know one way. So I did get in there and lose my mind, and I'm beat up. I think I'm going to have surgery on my shoulder. But I'm going to give you the advice that I didn't take.
Okay.
Don't get in there and lose your mind.
So crazy.
Because you'll be sitting like this. Oh, okay. I got this pain rub.
That's good stuff too.
And then I got this pain rub that I put on in the middle of the day.
Here's a pain rub.
Do an activity. And then I have this one. This is the one that you just put on when you're walking through the airport because you know you really need the like, this is how I'm able to stand upright. And I don't want you to be in the pain that I'm in. Like, please be careful.
Don't listen to him, Michelle. Go crazy. Go crazy. This is the Royal. It's the Royal Rumble.
Dave, stop it.
No, Mark, let me take this. This is the Royal Rumble. Go. You have a chance to go after the championship if you win. Go crazy out there, Michelle.
Look, there's two sides. Look, Mark's family, so I get where he's coming from, and you know I love you for that. I just said I'm not that smart, so I probably will go crazy. But, Mark, the good thing is most of my moves just include a big boot. So, you know, it's not, like, crazy. I just got to throw that big old size 10 up and clock somebody in the face a few times. You know, so I'll be smart, but
just be smart. There you go. Be smart.
I'll be smart.
All right, last question from me. What are you most looking forward to at the Royal Rumble this year?
Well, you know, there's a whole set of girls that I've never really danced with in the ring before. You know, the main names everybody says, the Beckys, the Charlottes. But I really look forward to, I love every time I can get in the ring with Naomi. She's so dang athletic and just as athletic, you know, as Bianca. And I've never worked with her other than just down at the PC here and there. And so I'm really looking forward to mixing it up with those two if given the chance. And then I would like to mix it up with Charlotte because whether or not she knows, I kind of have a bone to pick with her because every time she's on our TV, my little two-year-old goes, Mommy, Mommy. And I'm like, that is not Mommy. Mommy is right here. She plays a queen. I am the queen.
Oh, you know, like, snap. Big.
So,
oh, man, Dave, we got something brewing here.
I like it. I'm just saying,
you know, she runs her mouth a whole lot. But, you know, just getting in there, mixing it up with some new girls, old girls. Natty and I have so much, you know, business. Mickey James and I had plenty of unfinished business. And hopefully there's a few more that, you know, are surprise entrants that I've had a past with before as well. So
I'm everybody's stirring the pot, Dave. I'm stirring the pot because I would pay money to see Charlotte and Michelle McCool. I'll pay money to see that.
You know what's a great picture too? We took Kaya to a pay-per-view in Dallas this past summer. We're sitting front row and there's a picture they got. Charlotte was on the outside. She had the title and she's just looking this way. And it just so happens that I'm peeking over the barricade like this, almost like eyeballing it, you know, as if it were destiny. So that picture's been resurfacing as well. You know, and she keeps saying, I am destiny, wait in line. I'm like, I've always hated line. So I don't know what to tell you.
There you go. Well, if you win the Rumble, you could go after Charlotte. This is perfect, Mark.
I could.
That's a match made in heaven right there.
Well, you know what? I'm betting on you winning the Rumble and facing Charlotte at WrestleMania. So since I have money on the line, why are you talking to us? Go to the gym, start working out because I need you to win the Rumble. All right. Why are you sitting here talking to us? You should be in the gym working out. Get ready for the Rumble.
On my way right now.
All right. Michelle, thank you so much for the time. We truly appreciate it. And good luck at the Royal Rumble. Seriously, thank you.
Always so much fun. Thank y'all so much.
Thanks for coming on.
All right, bye, Mark.
Hey, everybody, this is Lindsay Rhodes. And with the NFL playoffs underway, what better time than now to check out my podcast, The NFL Roadshow. We're going to break down the biggest games, key players, every angle in between with guests that go past the low-hanging fruit and get to what you really need to know. We'll have new episodes every Monday and Thursday all the way through Super Bowl 56 in my hometown of Los Angeles. So please subscribe today wherever you stream your podcasts or listen on the SXM app included with most subscriptions.
Some people call our good friend Sam Roberts a shill for the WWE. And you know what? He just may be. But I kind of like looking at Justin this morning because he's looking like a shill for Busted Open. Drinking coffee out of the Busted Open mug, wearing the Busted Open hoodie. You know what, Mark? It's good to be Justin LaBar.
It's good. He got that box. He got did you get the blanket?
I did not get a blanket.
Wow.
Oh, see? Now we got to get you another box.
Mark didn't want to see me drinking coffee out of my Washington, I can't even say the name, my Washington.
There you go.
You know,
I'm currently in Washington, D.C. And yesterday I spent time in Baltimore, Maryland. And I must say, Justin, your people here in this area are very kind and very nice and very respectful. And I can see myself living in Washington, D.C. My wife, if she's driving right now, she just threw the brakes on and just slid off the road into the onto the median and is going, what in the hell did he just say? I've had a lot of very respectful conversations over the last 2 days and going to the schools here. People were very happy to have me come places. And I don't know, or do the athletes in this area go to the schools and stuff? It's like that, what I'm doing is something that's not done or something. Like, I feel very revered here.
Well Mark, I'm happy to hear. You are a superstar, dude. Jeez Louise, give yourself a little bit of credit, Mark.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very happy to hear they are treating you nicely, Mark. That's great. I mean, it's tough to say because it's been over 15 years since I've lived in the DMV, as we call it, the DC, Maryland, Virginia area. And that's the thing. It's because it's more of a region than just a city. It's kind of like you can be a DC athlete, but your training facility is in Northern Virginia or you're in Maryland. And so so you're not just going to DC schools. You're kind of spread out. So it's kind of hard to like pinpoint, if that makes any sense. I'm glad for the kind words you have to say. Your wife has a right to slam on the brakes right now, because it's one thing to be staying there and to be in a nice hotel, and especially if you can be in walking distances of things in downtown DC. But when you got to drive and you have that beltway, I mean, life all of a sudden takes a drain when you got to deal with the getting around. So,
and it's cold.
It's cold.
Yeah. It's cold. But I've had a really good time the last 2 days, and even if it took an hour to drive there. But if my family and we were here in D.C., I'd drive to Baltimore to go eat Jimmy's Seafood.
Hell yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. I'm such a huge seafood person. Like, I grew up in a town called Chesapeake Beach, Maryland. And so, like, I am a seafood snob. And that's probably the number one thing I miss the most about not being down there is you can't substitute what you get down there anywhere else. It's,
man, that crab cake, that blue crab.
Wow. I mean, Justin, you got him talking about food again. He gets
but I have to ask him the question, Dave.
Go ahead.
If you were a steak, mm-hmm. what kind of steak would you be?
No matter what I am, I'm cooked medium rare. Because if you do it any other way, you're just wrong. I'm going to say probably like a T-bone.
Okay, the best of both worlds. That's what you're saying?
T-bone.
Okay.
But it's got to be medium rare. People just don't get – they don't understand just the magical – the magic of steak. If you do it, medium well, you're just go suck on a shoe. Like, get that nice. I tell my wife, like, when you're if steak, it's got to stay in the juices. It's got to stay a little bit of the blood. It's got to be in the marinade. It's got to be that. You can't go beyond medium rare. I'm sorry. You're just killing the steak. Whatever you're paying, if you're paying something nice for the steak,
you know, you're casting judgment, right?
I want to
stop you before everybody else goes, how are you going to tell me how to eat my steak?
Well, I'm trying to give wisdom.
I'm trying to help you.
You're missing out on the what makes the steak worth what it's worth. If you go beyond, bully.
It's your way or the highway. Okay. Well,
if you when it comes to steak, what, it is.
You never asked me what kind of steak I would be, Mark.
Can I finish? God, Dave, if you were a steak, I know what it was. I know what it is.
What?
You're a bacon wrapped filet mignon.
Ooh. No, I gotta be honest. I'm a steak-em. You just put it in the mic.
What's
you
a steak-em?
You put it in the microwave, heats up in just seconds. I heat up in just seconds, and I'm quick and easy. I'm done pretty quick. So I'm a steak-em.
What the hell is a steak-em? I never even heard of that.
He's a steak and cheddar hot pocket.
Yeah, there you go, hot pocket. Just, you know, love those hot pockets.
So Gabby, I did get the news from Gabby. Gabby is a bone-in ribeye, and I am the same but bigger. I am the tomahawk bone-in ribeye. That's my favorite thing to eat. My wife will tell you, he wants a ribeye. He wants a bone-in ribeye. That's what I want.
All right, well,
and it's great. We're gonna ask Wardlow on a Wardlow Appreciation Day. We're gonna ask him
what kind of steak he is. Okay, well, I'm a steak-em.
Mark, you mentioned bacon wrap while you're down there. Find some bacon wrap shrimp or bacon wrap scallops while you're down there.
Ooh.
Bacon wrap shrimp. I suggest. Awesome. Get a skewer. Get like a skewer. If you find the right place, just like a shrimp kebab, but it's just all a skewer full of shrimp with bacon wrapped around it.
Okay. All right. While he's drooling, let's get into the wrestling news of the week. Let's kick it off with Sami Zayn signing a multi-year deal to stay in the WWE. I got to be honest, Justin, I was a little surprised to hear about Sami signing back with the WWE.
You know, and yes and no. Like, yes, because to the point of like, you know, we look at what's happened the last couple of years and far more people are going out the door than are coming in the door or remaining. It seems like that's what the trend looks like. But to that point, like, yeah, you still need talent. And so Sami, you know, I don't think this necessarily happened this past week. I think this happened at some point and it just became news just now, you know, but whenever he signed, I mean, you look at it, obviously we know Kevin Owens is now staying there. He's got a longer term deal. We know that Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn in real life, these are guys that know each other really well. So, I mean, I think all that kind of does play in a factor. If you're happy, if you're getting paid, and also if somebody who's, you know, somebody who's close to you is also going to still be riding the road, you know, that kind of makes sense. You know, I mean, again, while people are showing up in all other places now, but WWE still needs people. And, you know, Sami Zayn, it's kind of crazy. I think he, you know, when he first got to the main roster and he was babyface Sami Zayn, I don't think everything necessarily clicked to the fullest. I think now, since he's been a heel, I think things, I think this has been the best version of him. And it gets the most reaction. So it seems like he's doing his best work in WWE. And again, you know, WWE still needs people. They still got to pay to have some talent. Yep. And so if you're getting paid and if you got somebody close to you that's still going to be there for the long term, keep it going.
And Mark, you know, relationships do matter. If you're comfortable and you have great relationships and, you know, one of your best friends is going to be your writing mate and stuff like that, why take a chance? You know, sometimes the grass isn't always greener on the other side.
No, it's not. But, you know, Sami Zayn was one of those guys that you cannot afford to lose him because he doesn't have to be Sami Zayn. Like, can you imagine El Generico in AEW or Impact or in Japan again? Like, he can do anything and he's a versatile piece. And with all the talent that was lost, now you see that the bulk of the really talented, like well-deserved, well-respected guys, they're re-signing for long contracts. So, for whatever everybody's getting negative about how many people have been let go, you see them trending toward giving these long deals to the outstanding talent. I think that they may be crossing the threshold of who we're going to get rid of, but now who we're going to re-sign for a long time to keep the ship, you know, afloat.
Well, you know, Mark and Justin, somebody who decided they didn't no longer want to be with the WWE, Ali, went public with, you know, his release from the WWE. And what were your thoughts on hearing about that and the way it came about as well, Justin?
Yeah, I mean, Mustafa Ali, he went public on his social media and just said, you know, I want out. You know, as of now, as far as we know, he's not out. He's still there, and supposedly he's got, you know, years with an S still on his contract. So, you know, I mean, I can't blame the guy from a viewer standpoint. I don't, who knows, you know, what, you know, to the detail that he's had to deal with behind the scenes. But I mean, you know, it's been a tough. You know, you look at what's been presented to him. Obviously, you know, Retribution. I mean, you know, the flop that ended up being, that gets attached onto him. You know, he gets revealed as the leader. So, yep. You know, fan perspective, you know, he gets attached with the failure that is that group. Even if he didn't even want to be part of that, or even if he had a completely different idea and direction, we don't know. But what you see on TV is what you get, and that's what gets attached to him. So, you know, from what I've been able to tell from this guy, you know, he's got a, you know, very, very interesting past. You know, he's the kind of guy who seems like you could utilize this. You know, you could take this guy, put him in the community. This guy could be far more than just a talent you're seeing on a Monday or Friday night. This guy could represent a lot of progress and awareness. And hey, like, you know, we don't got to pigeonhole somebody just because this is what they look like or this is what their name is. We don't got to make them what they would have been in 1985 wrestling. So I'm not sure where the disconnect here is. All I can say is I feel bad for the guy. I can't imagine. I haven't been part of the situation like he is, to where, you know, you're contractually bound somewhere for still more years to go, and you're that unhappy where you want to go, where you want to leave, and they're not letting you leave. Where you're in jail essentially to go be free. So I don't know how this one's going to shake out, but this doesn't look good for anybody, unfortunately.
But I do see him wanting to, and having, you know, empathy for a guy. Like, why would you want me to portray something that I'm not comfortable with portraying? You know, like, I don't want to be a stereotype. I've been there, actually. And sometimes you got to do what he's doing. You got to stand up for yourself and say, guys, I'm a human being at the end of the day. I'm a pro wrestler at the end of the day. The sum of my parts do not define my talent. I should be able to wrestle anybody, good, bad, indifferent. And that's what I want to do. Let my talent speak for itself. Or let me go. Let me go somewhere where I feel like I could do that.
Mark, let me ask you this. The fact that he went public with wanting to be released, is that going to make it easier with them possibly giving him a release? Or is it going to make it tougher in the fact that they're saying, well, listen, you're in a multi-year contract. You're contractually obligated to do what we tell you to do. I mean, this could get even worse for him in the future if the WWE decides not to release him.
Well, if there was nowhere else to go in the world of the wrestling, then it might be a death sentence. But there are other places to go. People realize now that, you know, like, what I negotiate other places, I can recoup the money that I would lose. There is a market. The market for pro wrestling is strong. It's not like cryptocurrency where, you know, some days everything looks great, and then the other days you look like, well, wait a minute, where did the money go? Like, this is his talent level is really, really high, and he's just misunderstood. He's not used the way that he should be used. And I think that, to answer your question, I think that this is good for him because it's going to create dialogue with the company.
Okay,
and they're going to ask him, so how do you think you should be used? Where do you think you fit? Like, who should you be working with? All of these questions that otherwise they would have never asked. So the dialogue is happening.
You know, it's interesting you said that, Mark, because, you know, Justin, we had Killer Cross on the show yesterday, and he said the one regret he had, he said he went to the main roster, was confused. There was no reason, no rhyme or reason to anything that happened. And he tried to be the good soldier by not kind of making waves. And he didn't want to be perceived as somebody who came from NXT and made waves. He said his one regret was that he didn't speak up. And he wished he did speak up more. And, you know, you hear it from both sides. You shouldn't speak up. You should speak up. And I think right now, Justin, there is probably no right way. I guess you got to kind of feel it in your own personality on how you deal with this situation.
Well, and that's what I was going to kind of ask Mark. And yeah, I was thinking about the Cross interview, and I did catch some of that. It was good stuff. Is it all about how you go about it? Because what I'm wondering is, like, we've always heard from people over the years that, like, Vince appreciates you. Vince even likes it when you get a little mad. He likes, you know, he likes you standing up. He likes emotion. He likes, you know, you have a spine. But at the same, on the same side, though, like, if you go Ali's route and you go public with saying, hey, look, I want out, and obviously they haven't given it to you yet, and now you bring the public into it, does that make the office that much more determined to have you sit on the sideline because they want to make an example of you? They don't, you know, they don't want you to go in public. I mean,
two things, Justin. How do we know that he didn't go to them and go, guys, like, enough with the, you know, Muslim banter? Like, I'm also a police officer. Mm-hmm. He was a police officer. Mm-hmm. Why don't accentuate the fact that he was a cop?
Yeah.
In this time where we live in right now, where there's a lot of defunding the police, and there's a multitude of things you could do with that. Mm-hmm. How about that? But the closed-mindedness, I think, is what he sees. They only see me as this. And that's the thing, the trigger point. The other thing, on the other side of the coin, when you get that meeting with Vince and you go in his office, I told you, sometimes you can go in his office and come out with a, you know, legitimate answer. Sometimes you can go in there and come out going, damn, wait a minute. Did I just say okay to that? I don't even want to do that. Like, they have a way of making you see the vision. But at some point, you got to go in and say, listen, all due respect, I see what you're doing, but that's not working for me. Like, I'm sitting in the locker room and I'm sitting in catering, and there are people that I don't think can lace my boots. You know that I'm really good at this, and I'm not getting the opportunity. And it's not my wrestling. My wrestling hasn't changed over the last couple of months. It's the what your writing staff is coming up with, and they're lazy thinking. They're taking the low-hanging fruit. There's levels to this, and I have multiple levels of what I can do to help your company. And if I'm not being used, then just tell me now so I can leave. Because, like, they don't know how to write for me. They don't understand who I am. I'm wasting your money, and it's wasting my time. And when you get to that point, then you have to have the conversation of, well, what do you think that we should do? And your ass better have an answer. You can't go in Vince's office and throw that gauntlet down and him ask you the question and you don't have nothing. Well, I don't know. I mean, what? You see what I'm saying? It defeats the purpose. You better have your ducks in a row. You better know what you feel like you can do. I did that with Sex with Chocolate. I was like, look, it's not about winning or losing. I want to entertain. I want to laugh. I want to have fun. I mean, I was always told the whole point of this is to have fun and entertain the people. And somewhere along the lines, people told me, like, you know, they're trying to kill your ass off with this Sex with Chocolate. I said, no, I invented Sex with Chocolate. What? Yeah, I did that. Did I get credit for it? No. But they paid me. They paid me to be creative for their company, and they paid me to perform for their company. It was services rendered. This is the way I looked at it. Now, when it got killed off and I went on and had to recreate myself again, then I had to come up with something else. It just so happened that I was able to actually go and become the strongest man in the world again. And it revitalized my career. Ali does not have that. He's not going to go and become the world's fastest man or the NBA superstar that wants to come back to wrestling. Like, whatever. I don't know.
Maybe he
does have some kind of hidden talent.
But, Mark, looking at it from the outside, though, Mark, because he obviously went public about wanting to be released. Do you think he made...
I don't blame him.
But do you think he made that attempt to talk to Vince McMahon?
I bet he did because he's a smart guy.
Okay.
And yeah, he's just fed up.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I went to y'all. Y'all don't want to do nothing. Give me my papers. I need to get out of here. And I'd love to talk to him. And I'm going to reach out because I love to hear other people there. I don't want to hear from speculation. We're speculating.
Yeah.
This is based off, this is our opinions on what we think happened. I want to talk to him, and nobody's trying to bury the WWE. We just want to know what happened. You know, am I wrong? Am I not poking the bear, am I?
And you need to hear both sides. And in this circumstance, and you know him a hell of a lot more than I do, so you would know. So,
bro, he's a smart man that loves being who he is. He's he loves being a Muslim speaking man, but he's an American. Mm-hmm. He's a police officer. He's an educated guy. He wants to be perceived as that. Don't just make him the hated American Muslim because America paints the picture of people of color. We're the bad guys. He tired of being the bad guy. He had the light in his hands a couple of years ago and was a super, kind of like a superhero modified. That shit was working. And then somewhere along the line, they like, you know what? Let's make the Muslim the bad guy. Hell, how would you feel?
Yeah, no, you're right, Mark. And maybe someday we'll be able to talk to him. All right, Justin, Mark and I will be in Poughkeepsie tomorrow night, but you're going to be in Pittsburgh tomorrow night. So for IWC, what's going on in Pittsburgh tomorrow
night? Yeah, we got our IWC Wrestling Reloaded 8.0 show. This is a show we do every January. It's a show where everybody goes into the computer, and the computer spits out who the opponents are going to be for the champions. And we got a 16-bit challenge, the Battle Royal. And we've had Tommy Dreamer. We've had a lot of big names all of a sudden just appear, and you don't know who's going to be there. Rumor has it two former WWE names have entered their name into the computer for Reloaded, so we'll have to see. Wardlow and I have had many defenses of the titles at Reloaded every January for many years. Dr. Britt Baker's had her go at it. So Reloaded's a great show. You just don't know who's going to show up. Virgil's shown up. He's got his name in the computer. That's how whack this computer is.
Wow.
So IWC Wrestling.
Cyber Saturday.
Yeah, it kind of is. IWC Wrestling. It's going to be in Elizabeth, PA, just outside of Pittsburgh at the Court Time Sports Complex. You can go to IWCWrestling.com for any of the last remaining tickets. But again, it's tomorrow night. It's a fun show because again, it's so unpredictable. I'm even in the computer, so you never know what could happen.
Justin,
give me a Permanente Brothers chicken sandwich, please.
Mark, next time you're here, we'll get Permanente's and then we'll go find seafood somewhere else. We'll do it.
Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. The producer is Gabby Laspisa. The associate producer is Andre Viola. Sound design by Neri Bailon. Special thanks to SiriusXM Senior Vice President of Sports Programming and Podcasting, the legendary Steve Cohen. And SiriusXM Fight Nation Program Director, Mother Marissa, Marissa Rivas.
SiriusXM Podcasts.